Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody, where we have open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis with an invitation to keep listening to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day and how the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to discuss on this edition of Basic Gospel, well, call right now. The lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. That's toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Basic Gospel equals the New Covenant. New Covenant equals the will of God.
Yes.
If you want to know what the will of God is for your life, you have to go to the New Covenant. It's spelled out right there. And I love a passage that we went over today in our noontime Bible study, Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 7. Jesus said this, "Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God." We tried to do God's will, but it was impossible. We didn't have what it took. We didn't have the right stuff, so to speak, but Jesus did, and he came to do the will of his Father, and he executed it to such an extent that it carries over into our lives. What Jesus accomplished is applied to us. That's new covenant reality. That's grace, and that's good news. It's just amazing, and there's a couple of key things in Hebrews 10 that are the result of Jesus executing the will of God on our behalf. And they're big, big words,
yeah,
aren't they?
They are huge words. If you keep reading in that same passage, talks about Jesus, who came to do God's will, took away the first in order to establish the second. So it was God's will that the first covenant, the Mosaic covenant, be fulfilled in Christ so that he could bring in the new one. And by this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So it's God's will that we're sanctified. It's God's will that we're forgiven. In chapter 9, he talks about Jesus being the person who provided eternal redemption. And redemption is defined as forgiveness in a couple of other places, Ephesians and Colossians. So here we have forgiveness or redemption. We have sanctification. Well, in order to get all of those, you have to find life someplace in there, and Jesus provided that. Everything that we need for life and godliness, that's the way Peter described it, is God's will for us. It's not us trying to guess, you know, who should I marry, what job should I take, any of that kind of stuff. Our discovery of God's will is our discovery of the new covenant. It's plain and simple.
Plain and simple indeed, and that is Basic Gospel. We'd love to talk to you more about that. I was thinking the other day about our program, our ministry. What is it that we really do? I mean, we proclaim the good news. We give out the Word of God. But how does that benefit those who listen? How does that benefit us as well? And thinking it helps us reach our spiritual goals. We're all striving to reach what God wants for us. And this new covenant delivers us right there. Mm-hmm. And it takes away the striving. It enables us to rest and experience peace. And that's what this ministry helps people do, to reach their true spiritual, godly goals and achieve the will of God in their life. And we want to help you with that. And we want to address the questions that you might have in that regard. And that's why this program is here. So call, be a part of today's broadcast at 1-800-677-9377.
We'd love to hear from you if you're in the New York, New Jersey area, Washington, D.C., Louisville, Denver. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question from Chris, who sent us an email from Detroit. Says, "I have a question concerning John the Baptist. When they talk about him being Elijah, are they meaning that literally or figuratively? Please explain your take on the passage from Mark 9:13. Also, when asked if John was Elijah, he said that he was not, according to John 1:25. So what's your take on all this?
Well, he wasn't Elijah. I mean, we know that to be a fact, and John confirmed that. Mm-hmm. But there was a promise that someone would come in the power and
yes. in the spirit and power of Elijah.
Elijah. And John the Baptist stepped into that role, mm-hmm. and that's what he carried out to prepare the way for the Lord. That was his task. He was set apart in his mother's womb for that task. The Holy Spirit came alongside of him to empower him to carry out that task. He showed up on the scene when it was his time to show up on the scene, and he carried out that task in the power and spirit of Elijah. Yes. So he fulfilled that prophecy. He was the one that was the fulfillment of that.
Yes. Yeah, it shows the importance of reading the whole prophecy. It doesn't say Elijah will come.
Right.
It says one in the spirit and power of Elijah will come. And that makes the interpretation a lot easier
than yes,
trying to force it to be an actual person.
Yes, indeed.
Well, again, open lines, 1-800-677-9377. We await your call, and we're here every day live just exactly for that particular reason, so that you can call and be a part of the broadcast. If you have a burning Bible question, why we would love to, don't want you to burn the Bible, but the question is burning, okay? Just give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. If there's some pressing issue in your life that you just need some guidance on, some scriptural input, why, this is a good opportunity because the lines are wide open, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question from Maria, who sent an email to us from Bridgeport, Connecticut. She says, some people who serve God believe that you can lose your salvation. Are those people saved? If they're not, then that means that just a few are actually saved. It hurts my heart, she says, that people cannot see the finished work of Christ, and that so many people I know as brothers and sisters in Christ share that belief.
Well, we'll just have to say right up front, I mean, we can't determine who's saved and who's not saved. I mean, that's a God issue. That's something that he's going to determine, or he knows. And only a person in God knows for sure. We can look and make some observations, but we can't see what's really going on inside a person's heart if they have truly responded by faith there. It says in Romans 10 that if a person believes in his heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and he confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord, a person is saved. We can't look inside a person's heart. Only God can do that, so we don't know. What we can say is this, that if somebody has the idea that you can lose salvation, I don't think they really know what salvation is. That may not be true of everybody. You know, this is a general statement. But as far as salvation, I think most people see it as simply forgiveness of sins or receiving a golden certificate that grants you entry yes. into heaven when you die. So it really has nothing to do with here and now. That's just not true. Forgiveness is certainly a part of the gospel message. It's a part of that good news that has been delivered to us in Christ Jesus. But there's much more to it, and that much more is life. We receive life in Christ's name. And when we understand that, we recognize that once we receive life, and Jesus calls it eternal, that it truly is eternal, that nothing can take it away from us. And that gives more meaning to the cross, exactly what Jesus accomplished there. So I think in those terms, you don't sit and argue whether somebody's saved or not saved. You just lay out the gospel message. Here's my understanding of what the gospel is. I see it in a fuller picture, a broader scope than just forgiveness. How do you see it? And have a conversation. And I think in that conversation, you can learn some things.
Absolutely. Well, Maria, I hope that's been a help to you. Hope you keep listening. And let us know again if you have another question.
Let's go to Washington, D.C. and talk with Malcolm, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Malcolm.
Hey, guys. Good to hear from you. I've been on the radio here in D.C. area and can hear you quite well. I wanted to encourage you in the Lord to continue the great work.
Well, thanks, Malcolm.
I'd like to hear, good to hear your coverage of the new covenant, the will of God and in Christ, and the new identity we have, because it definitely affects your thinking with that new identity, especially in these heavily congested traffic areas like D.C. and New Jersey, I'm sure, and New York and that kind of thing. But so keep up the good work in spreading that new identity we have in Christ.
Well, thanks so much for the encouragement, Malcolm. It's always nice to hear from you, and we think about you often.
Yeah,
Debbie and I are here listening. We're in the HOV lane, if you know what that is. We're spreading the word.
You're parked in the HOV lane, yes.
Yeah. So just keep up the good work. We're trying to spread the good news out here. It's hard to keep quiet when you got some good stuff to share. So.
Well, isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
I mean, when you know what the grace of God is all about, when you know what the love of Jesus Christ is all about, it's hard to keep quiet. And I don't think God wants us to keep quiet. That's stuff worth sharing right there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You got a good thing to share. You just keep on sharing, and you just leave it at the doorstep and keep moving, because we're supposed to lift up Christ and let Him do the attraction. And there's definitely a lot to be attracted to. So
yes, indeed. Well, Malcolm, great to hear from you.
Yeah, and hello to Debbie.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Yes, definitely will. We just started in on that Hurting the Healer last night, so that's great stuff too. So, Book on Love was great. Good. We need to get more of those to hand out. So, excellent stuff. Keep up the good work.
Well, thanks, Malcolm. Great to hear from you, my friend.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go to Ralph in Long Island, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Ralph.
Hello, gentlemen. Nice to speak to you again. I had called a couple of weeks ago. I received my issue of Hurting the Healer. I want to thank you. I'm reading that along with the Bible, of course. But I do have one issue I'd like to speak to you gentlemen about.
Well, we would love to talk about it.
As a new believer, because I had mentioned a couple weeks ago, I was saved on June 9th of this year at the age of 47 years old. So this is, like I said, I'm a new believer. And I'm trying to, with my own family, which is my immediate family, my daughter does come with me to church occasionally, and trying to speak to my sons about the gospel. And my oldest son had asked me the question of, well, am I going to be going to heaven? Because I heard, I'm not going to be going to heaven because I'm not safe. And I took out the gospel, and I read from John. I read the conversation Nicodemus had with Jesus, and I read the how to be born again into the Holy Spirit, and he had said to me, well, you've raised me Roman Catholic all my life. I was a Roman Catholic as well. How can you go to heaven and I can't go to heaven? And so how do I go about, should I just keep continuously reading the gospel? Of course I pray that they come with me and feel the feelings that I have. And they see a change in me, and I want that to be spread about with my family as well.
Well, Ralph, I think you're doing exactly what you need to do, is just sharing with them what you've come to know in Christ Jesus, reading the Word of God to them. I think you are really honing in on the stuff that needs to be shared at this point in time. That John chapter 3 is just a perfect chapter. I would also do it with this prayer in mind. Oftentimes our eyes are closed to the things of God, and it takes the power of God to open up those eyes. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, mind is not conceived of the things that God has prepared for us, but these things have been revealed to us by the Spirit. And as you're communicating with your kids, with your family, do so with that prayer in your mind. Lord, open up their eyes so that they can see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And
Amen.
Trust the Lord to do that.
And I believe, like I said, one of my other sons, he's been saying he'd like to come with me. He's starting to read the Bible. So I know I mentioned this when I first spoke to you gentlemen. It had to start with me because I had to be the change in this family. Based on my failures and my sins, I had to make the change for them to see that there can be a change, that when you have Jesus in your life like I do today and in my soul and in my heart, there's no better feeling than anything I've ever had in my whole life.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Here's one other thing that I will throw out to you, Ralph, as far as maybe an illustration. Say somebody has a terminal disease And there's one place in the whole world that has the cure for that disease. You know, you would point people to that one place, wouldn't you? And
yes.
Folks who wanted to be made well would just flock to that place. There'd be a line a mile long waiting to get the cure. And somebody might say, well, what about all the doctors and physicians other places? And you say, well, they're nice and they're good and they've done some good work, but they don't have the cure. And sometimes that's a good illustration to help people who raise the question like your son did. Are you saying that, I've been a Catholic, you've raised me to be a Catholic, and I'm not going to go to heaven? I think the answer to that is the Catholic Church doesn't have the cure. The Catholic Church can point you to the cure in Jesus Christ, just like a Protestant church can point a person to Jesus Christ. But belonging to that doesn't necessarily mean you've been cured. You must be born again, and that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe that can help in the conversation as well.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen, again. God bless, and keep doing what you're doing because it's working on me.
Well, thanks, Ralph. Thanks.
Yeah, thank
thanks
you.
For your call today.
And welcome to the family.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Hey, amen. Glad to be here.
Yes.
1-800-677-9377. We have time on the clock and open lines for you. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Desmond listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Desmond.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you as well. Nice to hear from you, my friend.
Yes, sir. I'm calling in response to that question about once saved, you always save, or once you have salvation, you cannot lose it. I would like to comment on that a little bit. The Word of God said that we are to live holy before Him. What about one that accepts Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Ghost, meant well, doing good for a while, after a while they start doing the old thing that they used to do, live the old life they used to live, and so forth. How you said that?
Well, Desmond, we don't build theology around anecdotal evidence. We have to build theology and doctrine around what the Word of God has to say. And the Word of God says that if a person has been saved, that they've been saved completely and forever. I love how the writer of Hebrews puts it, that Jesus lives forever, and because he has this permanent priesthood, he is able to save us completely because he always lives to intercede on our behalf. So our salvation rests upon his shoulders. His work through his death, burial, and resurrection secured our salvation. When we respond to that by faith, we're made alive together with Christ, and we're saved completely. It's not a temporary reprieve. It's not a, some sort of rescue, and hopefully you don't get caught in that mess again and have to be rescued again. It is a permanent salvation, and we're guaranteed that because of the work of Christ. Now, are there a lot of people who say a prayer, walk an aisle, join a church, profess Jesus with their lips, but have never truly believed in him? Absolutely. There's lots of folks, and John describes those folks as people who went out from among us because they were never really a part of us. They were never truly saved. They were never truly added to the body of Christ, joined to Christ himself. So I think we just have to see it in those terms. If a person's saved, they've been made alive. God the Father has sent the Holy Spirit to live in that person, has sealed that person, has marked them out as a child of God, declared them to be a child of God, and he has said that he's going to complete the work in us, and that when we're absent from the body, we're going to be present with the Lord. That's the promise of God, and I just believe he's faithful to his promises. regardless of what happens with us. He's faithful. We can count on that.
Yes.
Okay, Desmond? So I think once we're saved, we're saved. Let me do this, Desmond. We have a wonderful CD called Drive the Stake that really talks about this in detail. I'd love to send it to you, and I would ask you to listen to it and then call us back, okay?
Okay.
Okay. You hang on, Desmond. Thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it.
Interesting subject. Lots of people have that question.
Yes, indeed. Let's go to William in Queens listening to us on WMCA. Hi, William.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Nice to hear from you.
It's a pleasure. I love your ministry. God bless you guys. I've been listening for a little while now, and I love it.
Well, thank you. We're glad you're tuned in.
Yeah, so am I. I just got a comment in regards to eternal security. If you want, I can just, you know, tell you what it is, and then I'll hang up, and then you can just speak on it.
Sure, that would be great.
Like, I have this debate usually with other brothers, you know, whether or not you can lose it. And we usually go to Hebrews 10. We often debate on 10, 38, and 39 of Hebrews, where it says, you know, if the person draws back, his soul has no pleasure in him. And I'm paraphrasing.
Yes.
And after that, it says, so we are not of them that draw back, but we believe unto salvation. So it sounds like a paradox, but I tell the brother that I usually debate with that that it's not, if you think about it. When you look at the parable with the seed lands, there's people that receive the word for a season, but the Bible never says how long that season is.
Well, one thing that's interesting, William, about the passage that you quote in verse 39 specifically, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Those who shrink back are those who have never believed. They've been introduced to the gospel message. They've been introduced to the wonders of God's love. They've even tasted it to some degree, but they have never believed. And their lack of belief is the very fuel that causes them to shrink back. But those of us who believe, we are saved, and we are saved completely. And so I think this is a powerful passage that actually underscores eternal security.
Right, and if I could add to that, it also says in John that to those who believe, he gave them the power to be the sons and daughters of God. And if you connect that to 1 John 5:4, it says that, you know, those that are born in Christ, you know, they will overcome the world. Not maybe, but they will.
That's right. It's a done deal. It's a done deal.
Right.
Well, William, so you've got a good handle on it. I appreciate your heart and your zeal to know the word, to know truth. And thanks for being a part of today's broadcast. Let me put you on hold.
We have a special gift offer for you for the rest of this month. It's a CD entitled The Basic Gospel Journey, and it can be yours for a generous gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. When you request your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey, you accomplish two very good purposes. First, you'll discover the riches of God's grace that can guide you into a deeply abundant experience of life in Jesus Christ. Second, with your generous gift in any amount, you'll be helping to ensure the continuation of this radio broadcast in your hometown. Unlike entertainment radio, airtime for Basic Gospel must be paid for. For that reason, we're dependent upon the gifts and prayers of people like you to keep the good news of God's grace in Jesus Christ on the air every day. So, to request your copy of The Basic Gospel Journey and make your most generous gift to support this radio outreach, simply visit basicgospel.net. There's a very prominent link right on the front page there. Or you can phone during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828. BasicGospel.net or 1-800-727-2828, and may God richly bless you and multiply your gift to Basic Gospel. I want to remind you also that we'd like for you to go online, and while you're at BasicGospel.net, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Also, while you're at BasicGospel.net, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list. In October, you'll want to be on that list because we're going to be sending out day-by-day email to supplement our 23-day study on the Revelation. Well, that's our time for today on Basic Gospel. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition. Hope you'll join us then. Bye-bye.